Let's cross now to Yanky Faber with the Israel Report. Yanky, welcome to the show. You're chatting with Nicholas in for Simon. How are you?
Hello. Yeah, good.
Fantastic. What is happening in Israel? Please fill us in.
What's happening in Israel? Well, a lot. the situation with Lebanon, it looks like it's getting better. Israel and Lebanon signed on Saturday, and you know, like it's not a real peace, but it's like an agreement that we will keep talking about the future, and today also and tomorrow there will be talks, and hopefully there will be a good decision between both countries, and they will get on. The problem is, of course, with Hezbollah, who refused to be part of the peace. Hezbollah wants to keep fighting Israel. Hezbollah is demanding that Israel should leave completely Lebanon, and Israel is refusing to leave Lebanon because Israel said that it's still dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So how it's going to end, nobody knows, but there is talks between Israel and Lebanon, and let's hope it's something good is going to come out of it. With Iran, we saw today that President Trump said he wants to speak, that Iran wants to speak, and tomorrow they're going to meet in Qatar. And let's keep talking, because, you know, in the last few days, they were shooting at each other. Iran was shooting on boats and ships, and then America shoot back. And now it's quiet, and they're talking. So basically, everybody's talking, and we have to wait and see what's going to come out of it. About the Israeli election, we're getting close to the election in the beginning of next month, maybe a few days after the next month, maybe a week or two. Israel will announce officially that we're going on election. The election will be either 20th of October or 27th of October. We're not sure yet. We're going to know next week. And it's very complicated. Many, many people are running to the Knesset, to the parliament. Eventually, probably some of them will not run because they're going to see they don't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Probably many of them will get together, like Benny Gantz will probably get together with some other people who are running. People are very, people have responsibility in Israel, you know, running to the Knesset, but they're making sure they will get in. Nobody wants to lose, nobody wants to, you know, waste mm-hmm. votes. Like, let's say, you know how many votes you need to get into the Knesset? You need minimum 160,000 people to vote for you, so your party can get into the Knesset. So if people don't have enough in the polls, they will definitely get together with other people to make sure they can get into the Knesset.
Okay.
If somebody is going to see before the election that he cannot do it, they quit. They will say, okay, I'm not running to the Knesset. Because people have a lot of responsibility, each side, the left, the right, nobody wants to lose votes. So we don't really know who is going to run, but it's going to be very interesting, and it's going to be very tough. The way it looks like, Netanyahu will not be able to form a government, he's going to lose.
Okay. And if we look at religious enlistment, is it more important than mixed gender units? What is the feeling?
Okay, so it's very complicated. Everything is complicated here. It's mm-hmm. very complicated because the Israeli society, from one side, they demand the Orthodox people, you know, the Haredi people, to join the IDF. And so they're making them a separate unit, let's say, mm-hmm. only men and this and that. On the other hand, the same people say, no, we don't want women, you know, they should not be allowed to go to certain places. So you need to find something in the middle. I don't think this is going to be the big issue. The big issue in this election, this coming election, will be one. Haredim joining the IDF. This is going to be the whole story in the coming election. Nobody's going to talk about Iran. Nobody's going to talk about Lebanon and about Gaza. Nobody. People care about it, but they're not going to talk about it. Everyone that is running to the Knesset, you can see, they all say one thing. We are not going to give any money to any community who does not join the IDF. Of course, Jewish communities, not mm-hmm. Arab communities. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be the big story. So eventually, after the election, they're all going to need to keep their promises. So then we're going to see who won. And if everything will be about the Haredim. Yeah, it will be about religious, it will be about closing streets for Shabbat, it will be about closing shopping centers of Shabbat. Everything will be on the religious issue. And this is something the Haredi community is very afraid. Because if the whole election is about Haredim, then much more people will go out and vote than other elections. You know, in Israel, you have usually between 74, 75, maybe a little bit less, percentage of the people of the country that votes. It's a lot of percentage. You know, when you see other countries, you see much less. But in Israel, there's about 74, 75%. Listen to this. If the votes will be 77% or 78%,
mm-hmm.
the Haredim will have a big, big, big problem, and they're going to lose big time. And the way it looks like, it's going to happen at the moment. Because people in Israel are very, very upset with the Haredim that they refuse to join the IDF. Of course, there is a lot of Haredim in the IDF, but not in the numbers that they've been expected. There's about 3,500, 3,500 Haredim have joined the IDF on 2025. And this is nothing. This is very small numbers. The IDF is expecting 8,000 a year, not 3,500.
Right.
But the Haredim refuse.
What is your sense in terms of what will be the outcome from these elections with regards to the Haredim and National Service and also their power within the Knesset and within government?
The way I look at it,
yes.
Netanyahu is not going to be prime minister. He will not be able to have 61 or 62 seats, whatever. And even if he win, the Haredim will probably not join with him, because what's the point joining the same government we had now? They haven't managed to do anything now. Why should they manage to do something different in the next government? They're going to be in the same problem. But the way I think it's going to be a united government, you know, unity government, right, left, center, but without Haredim and without Arabs. Maybe only Ram, you know, Mansour Abbas, his party will probably join the government. But the way it looks like, Gadi Eisenkot will be prime minister. Everybody will join, even Likud, okay? Even Likud will join, but without Netanyahu. He will retire. He will finish. And there will be inside election in Likud. Somebody else will be the head of the Likud, and Likud will join the government with Gantz and Lieberman and Yair Golan and whatever, and maybe some other party, but the Haredim will stay out.
Okay.
Because the Israeli society is very upset with the Haredim.
What do you think that would mean then for their communities and the support they've been receiving from government? Do you think it might be coming to a point where they're saying military service becomes compulsory?
It's very early to know mm-hmm. something like that. We need to wait a little bit longer. We have to first see who is running to the government, who is running to the Knesset. We still don't know. We're going to know only like maybe in 1 month's time, we know better who is running. I don't know. I don't know what to answer about it. We have to wait a little bit longer.
But
I can tell you that the Haredim are very upset. I mean, inside, I read the newspapers that every day they publish. They're very upset. They don't know what to do. And they say, we lost. We're going to lose. We're going to be in bigger trouble than we are now.
If we look at the judges saying within Netanyahu's trial, again, suggest that perhaps the prosecution dropped some of the bribery charges. What's happening with that?
Yeah, this is something big. Just like, oh, you ask good. This is like not long ago, like maybe 1 hour ago, someone from the, you know, from the whole court situation told Channel 11, the Israeli national channel, he said, we are in a big problem. We're going to need to make some changes with the charges, and this is something we didn't expect, and it's big. It's a big thing. So basically, if the Attorney General will insist to keep it, the whole bribery thing, then definitely Netanyahu will win. So they will probably, let go with the bribery charge. I don't know. They're still trying to understand what's going on here. I mean, you know, 3 years ago, the judges, the same judges, told also the attorney general, there's no bribery here, we don't see it. So she thought, if we're going to bring all the witnesses and we're going to question Netanyahu, you will find out that there is bribery. So you know yourself, 3 years, mm-hmm. 98 meetings in the court, and nothing came out of it. And Netanyahu didn't take any bribery. Listen, Netanyahu, he doesn't take bribery. He has other problems, other things in the house, but not bribery. He lives in Israel for 50, I mean, in the last 30 years, 40 years, he didn't do anything in his life, just being prime minister. He didn't go shopping. He didn't mm-hmm. go, you know, driving around the world, buying cars and having a good life. I don't know why he didn't do it. He should have left the government a long time ago. But yeah, because he didn't enjoy from being a prime minister. He doesn't have billions. There was other problems with him, but not this. So there's no bribery, and I don't know how it's going to end. And it's very interesting.
It's very much also then tied into the politics and the upcoming elections. As you were saying, it gets very complicated.
People will say there's no bribery. Exactly. People will say there's no bribery. So why not vote Netanyahu? Netanyahu is innocent. Netanyahu will use the judges, what they said. He's going to post all over that there is no bribery. And Netanyahu is okay. And mm-hmm. there's no reason not to vote for him. And everything was just, in the last 3 years, was just like, you know, a conspiracy from the lefties against Netanyahu. Definitely it's going to be interesting.
Very, very interesting. Would he want to stay on? What would your sense be? Or he feels it's time?
I think Netanyahu is going to lose.
Mm.
It doesn't matter about the judges, about not the judges. It's not a problem of bribery. There is a problem of 7th of October. People... Yes. Blame him that he didn't see, didn't know, he didn't understand. And you know something? All the people, every single one that was involved in 7th of October is gone. Everyone from the IDF and from the government. Yoav Gallant is gone. What's called Chief of Staff of the IDF, Herzi Halevi, and so many other people, like the head of the intelligence in the IDF. Everybody was gone. Everybody's gone. Netanyahu is the only one who stayed. A lot of people say, sorry, you failed just as they failed. Go.
It's time.
So he said, no, I was elected.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not an IDF soldier. So I was elected. I wasn't appointed. So I'm going to go on election. And if the Israeli society will tell me to go, I will go. So we're going to know in just a few months.
It must be a very, very interesting time in Israel right now. Is there a sense of hope for the future, a positive sense that we're going to be able to move forward?
Yeah. I read quite a lot of people from the right, from the left, mm-hmm. from the center, or people who don't really... Yeah, people are optimistic, and they say we're going to have a better time after the election. Okay. I hope so.
Absolutely wonderful. I mean, it's the most special place in the world, and everyone who has been there knows that, and those who haven't need to go and visit and experience it. Just before we start to wrap up, I wanted to touch on the strait in Qatar. I know we spoke about Hormuz and the attacks. What's happening in Qatar?
Seriously? Nothing much. I haven't seen anything, important. Qatar are friendly with Iran. They pay them a lot of money, and they do things behind them, under the table. They're not innocent. They're not honest. Nobody trusts Qatar. Qatar are terrorists, just like Iran, and just like they just talk nice. They talk good English, but they are just as bad as Iran. But there isn't anything particular now about Qatar.
Okay.
There is more about Bahrain, Bahrain and Kuwait, because when America attacked Iran, Iran attacked Bahrain and Kuwait.
Yes.
As a revenge. So Qatar didn't get anything because Qatar is friendly with Iran.
Okay. So they were looking after their bedfellows, as it were. So
exactly.
Yangi, as we start to wrap up the show, we just got to wrap up now. We're running out of time. A feel-good story. Is there something special that you can share with us from Israel to put a smile on our face as we wrap up the show?
Whoa, seriously? so many things.
That's quite a question out of left for anything that you've seen personally.
It's a bit funny, but it's not so hot in Israel, so it's very nice weather. It's not so hot because last year this time was boiling. It was really
absolutely
hot.
Crazy.
But today, I hope this weather will be for the whole summer.
I hope we have great weather for the summer. We can have lots of outdoor weddings and lots of simchas outdoor. Yanni Farber, Israel journalist, thank you so much for joining us here on The Home Run.